You are listening to the Designers Decast. I am Jay, the creator storytelling specialist from Bremworth, and today with our two super talented guests, and we're going to hear a little bit more about them and what they do. So for those who haven't heard about you yet or are new to this, like, introduce yourselves. Like, who are you guys?
Yeah. My name's Alex McLeod, and my business partner, Tommy, we set up AppSpace. We worked it out four years ago.
2019.
Yeah. And we came together a long time before that. We met through children, actually. And as we got to know each other, we realized we were doing the same thing along the same lines of work. And we initially both had our own businesses. So we decided after a number of conversations that it would be really good to be able to share a space together with those separate businesses. And I think from there, we just naturally enjoyed that collaborative space. So we both had our own businesses, but shared our resources, our library, our samples, all that kind of thing.
And we talked a lot about issues that might come up. So we had that kind of bouncing of conversations around design at that point. We were never threatened by each other. You know, we were operated in the same sort of environment, had the same sort of potential client base, but that was never
an issue. No. And I think from there, just getting to know each other really in a professional environment. We were lucky enough to have 8-10 years together of sharing the space, but working on separate businesses, really seeing how similar our approach was in a creative way and in a business approach, made it very easy to share that sort of space together. And then as we developed, we obviously had mutual friends, and one of those mutual friends was about to do a renovation and just simply suggested that we might like to look at it together, which we did, and it was a fantastic experience. And from there, we decided that it would be a great idea to set up a business together instead of operating coexisting and operating separately.
And it was, for both of us, because we'd had our businesses on our own, it was a big decision to make. But the upsides, the positives
outweighed
coming together, working collaboratively, creatively, and in a business way as well, was a very positive step to take us forward to the next 20 years or so. So it feels like there's a lot more longevity in it.
Yeah.
And building a business as opposed to just doing something that you love. That was kind of the main crux of the change and the shift. Yeah, so that was really where we moved from our own areas.
Individual businesses to coming together. AppSpace.
Yeah.
So together. If we wind back the clock before kids and meeting and sharing spaces, like, what are your individual journeys like up until that point? Like, did you study the same things? What are your...
Yeah. Well, I'm older.
Hardly.
I'm an Aucklander, so I grew up here and went to Auckland Uni and did a BA in Management and Sociology, and then moved across to a Commerce degree and did a Marketing degree. So it took a lot longer because I did it the long way, but really loved marketing, loved problem solving, loved projects where you're seeing something through from the beginning to the end. But then I went overseas and worked for 10 years overseas, had children over there, then came home and decided I wanted to change path and go in a new direction. And that's when I made the move into interiors, retraining and reinventing myself. And hence when I met Alex.
And that's where we met, And I guess from my perspective, I also grew up in Auckland. Auckland born and bred, and went to Auckland Uni. I studied architecture at Auckland Uni, and from there definitely worked in an architectural environment for a couple of years, and then went travelling and took a bit of a foray into more of a publishing market over there, and worked for a magazine that was more focused on interiors. And I think that just from there, my love of interiors and that sort of thing developed, but still keeping a really strong interest in architectural and in spatial reinvention. And coming home having kids, finding a way to work those passions or those creative outputs into my daily life is how we ended up meeting and starting our own businesses together. So
incredible. Like, I think, yeah, what a diverse array of skills and backgrounds, and then for them to come to a point when they all align.
It's just like a moment in time.
Yeah.
And I can still remember the first meeting that we had in the cafe and discussing how, you know, we both had very young children. We were reestablishing ourselves.
Probably desperate to hang out with somebody of a similar nature rather than small children.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, a lot of people, when we were initially on this project together and considering working together, not just sharing office, a lot of people said, oh, because by this point we were pretty good friends, you know, and a lot of mutual friends, and people were like, oh, I don't think you should work with a, you know, you good friend.
Warned you against the sort of combined approach. Yeah.
But I think what really works for us is communication and knowing that at the end of the day we can sit down and talk to each other quite honestly and frankly with how things are going, how we feel, if there are any issues, not that there ever really is.
No.
But, yeah, we're just making sure that we're always on the same page. And that's something we're very conscious of doing.
Yeah, and that's good because that touches on my next question, like describing your working relationship. So, I mean, outside of the communication aspect, do you both like work on the same components of a project? Do you have different skills you like to divvy up? Do you like to just mix up?
Well, I think how we've structured our business is that both of Alex and I are lead designers and the directors. When we get new clients coming in, we will sort of look at workloads and things and decide who's able to take on this particular project or who might have a slightly better fit. And then we may both go to the briefing, for example, because we do believe that the two minds, the creativity that we both can bring is taken from that very first client briefing. So we try to do as much together as possible up front, and then one of us becomes the lead director. So that's the person who takes on all the communication and driving that whole creative process through with the client, and then we jump in together at creative points along the way. So we do a brainstorm at the beginning of trying to develop the interior scheme, and then further along the way.
So even though one person is very much managing that relationship with the client through the process, so that the client feels like they have a continuity of communication lines, we're really both across most of all of the projects in our studio, which is awesome, because some of them you dive deeply into them, and others you get really immersed in the creative side of it and then are able to kind of comment and join in on the discussion on both sides. So I think it gives us a fabulous variety of work to, you know, take on board every day.
It's not always really structured. We try and keep as fluid as possible. So there may be points in the process of design where we kind of hit a wall, so to speak, and don't know how to see past this, or there's too many options and we're trying to get to direction, and that's very much where we call on each other to come in and be part of that.
It's a massive advantage from that perspective. And then I think also to your point about how does the business operate with our different skills and our different approaches. You know, we do have a very similar creative approach, and that's probably our strength. But in terms of, you know, what we bring to the business separately, obviously Tommy has this amazing background in marketing, and it is her just natural ability and skill to like be our marketing lead, for example. I sort of take the lead on certain systems and processes and that sort of side of the business and setting up
your architectural background.
I don't know if it's that or if it's just a personality thing.
it's probably a combination.
It's
things.
A You're combination. Very,
Alex is. It's about building the efficiencies into the business. So really looking for ways that we can be
operate better.
And we've done that. You know, we've introduced a lot of documentation. Documentation is really important to us as a part of our
process.
So we have the creative element, but then that you can't be creative and effective without efficient execution. So that's where our team comes into play as well. And so we document, we've got a whole backup system there. And I think we're both, in terms of documentation, both Alex and I are that's really important to both of us. And that's partly for me from my marketing background as well. But Alex really loves to look at systems, processes.
And I think that's kind of how, you know, both those elements are hugely important to a successful business. And it's just been a bonus that one of us takes the lead on some of those things,
it's
and one of us.
Natural division, actually.
So no one's had to fight over who has to do that bit.
In fact, I really don't want to do what Alex does, and she really doesn't
really
want to do
what she does.
That is awesome.
Yeah. I know, happy for you to send that. That's great.
I guess the other thing to navigate is, I know how precious when you start up your own individual brand and it's all the little intricacies that is, you know, you don't want anyone to mess with it or touch it. So you come together with these, I guess, clear brand identities individually. Was it a tricky process?
It wasn't easy. No. Yeah, it was very hard for both of us to let go of what we had already set up, for sure. And I think that was part of the, possibly part of the strength in joining, was actually being able to like let go of what we did individually and know that it was better together. And I think our brand and our service that we provide is exactly that. That's the strength of that space, is that we provide not only a creative output, but a collaborative creative output. And so you're funny because it was kind of in letting go that we kind of gained more, I think.
I totally agree.
Perspective.
It's exactly that.
Yeah.
I've actually feel like moving on from the previous company has made me bigger and stronger and just more rewarding. I think COVID probably helped, strangely enough.
Yeah.
Because we did that initial setup
just before
COVID. And then COVID came in, but we just had that support of each other over that time that, you know, otherwise we would have been very isolated. And that was one of the downsides of having your own business. Even though we shared an office and space together, we did operate very individually. And you still felt quite isolated, you know, like the business was all yours and it's all the hardship.
All the responsibilities are all yours. Yeah. And now it's a shared basis, but it's also the benefits and the rewards are all shared as well. Yeah. So you get to kind of celebrate that and celebrate the wins in a better way.
So everything's amplified, right?
Yeah, probably.
That's cool. Like two sets of shoulders to bear.
Definitely.
And then we've got, you know, I think it's enabled us to build a really good team.
Yeah.
So it's not just our shoulders now, it's also our team.
Yeah, we like to load
crucial.
Them up.
We love to load them up.
No, it's good to have that extra support and taking on staff from any business perspective as you're starting up a business is a big step. But we've been really lucky in that our team has been great. We are so sort of proud of them and what they've developed their roles into, because we couldn't have, you know, I guess grown as much if we didn't allow them a little bit of collaborative approach as well. So a lot of those decisions that we've made around growing the business have definitely had to do with their suggestions and their growth as well. So
And you mentioned earlier that, you know, people said don't do it, but you've done it.
We
you've come
it
up
anyway.
The other end. So what would be your advice to people listening who are thinking about teaming up with a friend or, you know, someone they've worked with in the past? And what would be your advice?
I think the most important thing is just communication. You know, don't ever shut down, you know, and believe that the other person's always there for you and we've
got your back.
Got your back.
I think as long as that is, you know, strong within a relationship, then you can kind of weather the storm when you do, and you will hit blocks along the way, or whether they're things within the business or outside of the business. But yeah, totally, if we had not worked so hard on communicating with each other so well, and, you know, sort of setting good values and ideals at the beginning, then it would be a different story, I think.
I do think, even though we touched on this business plan that we did at the start of our journey, at the start when we set up our business, I do think that in the back of our minds has always been there, and it also helped us to streamline who we were, what we wanted to achieve, and that put us on the same page from the very beginning. So that probably is also another recommendation, would be to seek out someone who's going to help you to build a business plan
at the beginning.
And that's what we went to, a third party person who helped us with that, because I do think you need an outsider to kind of take you on that right on the right,
the right journey. Yeah.
And that way, even though we haven't referred back to that in a wee while,
it was refreshing, it's refreshing to do that.
Today. Yeah. And I do think, you know, we'll probably sit down and redo it for another 5 years shortly, having realised that we've achieved what we wanted to.
Yeah. It's good to always have a reference point, because I think myself working in the creative industry, that's that kind of, you get a brief and you want something to reference to make sure that you are
absolutely
on track.
Yeah.
Otherwise it just becomes every piece of content created would just be me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rather than if I'm making it for someone or...
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, and, definitely.
I mean, that's very much the way that I'm sort of taking us off topic here, but that's very much about us. It's always about the client, taking their client brief and then referring back to it, but also wrapping our
beliefs and stuff around that, or our approach.
Flavor.
Yeah, our flavor.
Flavor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So talk about your flavor then. Like, how would you describe your guys' approach to design? Like, what are your considerations? What's your like aesthetic? Like, what elements?
Yeah,
and I think I just sort of preempted that, didn't I? But it is the client. It always starts with the client in terms of who they are, what they want the spaces to look and feel like, what's their environment, what are their...
And we're both people persons. Like, that is so important, is that initial meeting and the initial kind of rapport that you set up.
Yeah.
And it's about relating, really. It's relational.
So. And listening. Yeah.
So listening and getting to know your client is like key.
Yeah.
It's the key factor kind of.
Yeah. And then we take those cues and we, as Alex said, we wrap ourselves around it and we try and find a center point or a feature or a way to bring all the elements of the spaces, of the homes, of the interiors together. And that's the really fun part, obviously.
That's the very collaborative part, you know. So it's definitely then the creativity comes to the fore, I think. And that's most definitely more an enjoyable experience doing that collaboratively, which is why we've ended up, you know, sharing that part of the process.
Yeah.
Because it becomes a more challenging discussion rather than just sitting on your own and kind of battling through an idea sometimes. It's definitely more challenging and enjoyable, I think, as a collaborative approach. So that's a big part of our process, really.
And I guess when we come to the table of a client brief and what they're asking, the big question for us is, how can we do something differently? Like, if they're saying, we really just want we'd love a white kitchen, we love white, we just want things neutral, which is fine. It's like, well, okay, how can we do this differently? How can we bring in some texture to create a different white kitchen? Or how can we turn it into a not white kitchen? You know, there's just, it's how do we do things differently? It's always the question that's in the back of our minds when we're approaching it.
So you've got this client or people-centric approach. Once that's established and you've got their wants, where then do you look to draw inspiration from? Like, is it nature? Is it...
It's probably different every time, depending on, you know, location, site, client, what they live with already, what their lifestyle is like. So it might be the location, it might be in an amazing location. So in that sense, it's often, you know, the natural environment or what the house or the building is surrounded with. Definitely, I would say environment and location is important to us in terms of where the project is grounded, what the client's lifestyle is like. It's massive part of how the project is pulled together. Do they love cooking together, or is it a business that needs to reach a lot of people, or is it a whole group of people in an office that need to have a more relaxed approach? So it's definitely more about, obviously, the people-centric, as you say. And is it that there's sort of beautiful pieces of artwork or
fashion sometimes even?
Are they really style orientated towards fashion or is it in a different way? I think it can be very different and
lots of different cues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any like non-negotiables that are like, you know, Alex and Tommy, this is, I guess, our moral compass, or this is something we always try to at least get our clients to consider every time we do something?
We definitely would have a consideration towards, you know, ideally a New Zealand made aesthetic. So if that was something we could weave into every project, we would absolutely try and introduce that. And I think that's where, you know, we love working with New Zealand makers. We love a lot of our supplier relationships are very much based on who works with that same belief as us in terms of how can we be, I guess it is sustainably minded in that way, in terms of just supporting local and finding out what amazing people we have in our country and what we can do from here.
It makes it feel a bit more anchored, right? Like, and then you can tell stories around it, like my flooring came from down the road.
Sofa was made in Motueka, or my, you know, like different areas around New Zealand. There are different strengths as well that we've learned to navigate supplier bases.
We also, we love texture and layering. And that's what creates the sort of intricacy of our design, our detailing of our design, rather than cluttering spaces, I guess. So we actually provide a very simple design in a way, but there's layers of complexity.
Complexity.
Yeah.
And you touched on briefly, like, you know, taking advantage of like the beautiful landscapes, if that is relevant to the project and stuff. Is there any examples when, you know, you've really been able to maybe bring the natural outside inside, or there's the connection there?
Yeah, probably lots. Just finished a project up at Mangawhai, which was looking out over this beautiful valley. And it's, you know, it's a really long, long structure building, beautifully architecturally designed property. And we were involved right at the beginning. And so the purpose of the interiors was actually, as was the architecture, was actually to not overdo it, not to be too much. It was about the simplicity of design. It was natural timber floors, quite simple white walls, bringing in texture through the timber detailing, tiles all providing, and stonework being quite organic. And you just kind of want to walk around the place touching everything and not taking over the view, I think, is kind of not trying to create too much inside that you feel overwhelmed, because basically when you're in there, you want to feel enveloped and you also want to be looking outward.
Very calming, beautiful space.
Yeah.
I think as a stark opposition to that, we've also just completed another project that's definitely not scared of using colour. These clients, in fact, love to embrace it in primary colour to that point. But it's a beautiful bush-clad environment in Beach Haven, and it's, you know, almost meant to have a feeling of more like a dock hut kind of aesthetic. So their interiors are all wrapped in strand board, and they've got that beautiful mix of natural material with bold color. So, you know, just that is that. It was a completely different project, but just as fun to work on in terms of a really amazing output.
That's cool.
And bringing the outside in, you know.
And we've obviously talked about all the positive and amazing things around like natural and nature, but then we've got the flip side of that, where recently we've had some horrible weather that we've created through our practices. What do you feel, you know, is a designer's responsibility moving forwards around those considerations? What can be done? What should we be thinking about?
I think more and more choosing natural products rather than, you know, natural products that have a renewable life cycle. And, you know, that's, I guess, flooring is a big contender in that conversation. You know, we love being able to specify wool carpet. It has just as much durability as a nylon carpet in a normal family life cycle, the natural lanolins and all that sort of side of things. People don't sometimes understand just how durable that kind of story can be in their everyday life. And I think it's just reintroducing some of those conversations that we obviously used to have back in the 70s. So, yeah, more naturally made products, more, you know.
And recycling, you know, we've looked at recycled, the Beach Haven house from the kitchen cabinetry.
Recycled. Exactly. Post-consumer.
So And that provides a great interior solution, fun and dynamic. Mm. Just because it's sustainable doesn't mean you can't bring colour into it. You know?
Yeah.
There's also some clients, you don't need to go and buy a whole new sofa. You can reuse and refabric, you know, reupholster something. Mm. So I know it's not quite the same, but it is all about not overproducing for the sake of producing.
I think that totally aligns with, I guess, the ethos where I work at Brinworth is about just doing more good. You're not always going to be perfect.
No.
And sometimes the emphasis is too much on doing less harm. Mm. But if you focus on just doing more good where you can, for me, when I joined that team, I thought, wow, that's cool.
Okay. Yeah, and I would say none of our clients have gone, I just want to get rid of everything I had and start from here.
Mm.
It's always about integrating, you know, what is in their house, what is part of their family, what is part of their life, and how can that be integrated into what we're...
Generational as well, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And how can that be integrated into a newer environment for them, but it still feels like it has the energy of the past with it, yeah. Mm.
Mm. That's cool. And we've already touched on it briefly when you mentioned textures and stuff. But yeah, what do you look for when you're choosing materials for furnishing your homes?
Well, texture. So, like, if we start with the floors up, love if it's timber flooring, the matteness and the sort of the rawness of the timber flooring these now that you can get as just beautiful.
Or natural stone in the same way. Just beautiful textural variances, I think.
The sort of thing, you know, when you put if you're walking with no shoes on, that you feel like you've got your nature underfoot.
Yeah.
Carpet, I mean, we're both in love with loop pile, natural wool.
Just that kind of textural layer adds to then the acoustic properties of the room, adds to the ambience of the room, sort of sound and obviously lighting and all those sensory elements are very much a part of an interior, right? Mm. So it's just about compiling them all together in a curated way to have a much nicer sort of interior experience.
Mm. And comfort. We select fabrics for furniture and upholstery based on their comfort. A wool fabric is going to feel much nicer to sit on a sofa than a synthetic. Mm. It just does. It changes the whole composition of a sofa base. Same with cushions. We use, you know, wool fillers and not the synthetic polyester fillers always. So it's just things like that just really add out and flesh out the interiors.
So you probably already answered my question, but it's more around, so what is the single, for each of you, the single differentiator or reason that you prefer working with natural over synthetics? Is there like a single, is it the feel?
For me, it's the feel. It's the feel, but it's also looking at it, because as soon as I look at it, I know it's going to feel good. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It just feels more real too, doesn't it? Like it is what it is. There's no pretenses around.
Yeah.
I've been manufactured out of something weird.
Yes. But you don't know what's going to come out of it.
There's an honesty to it, right? And even like there's so much more undyed yarn and undyed fabric around now that we can see such beautiful qualities from. It's not just one colour that you get to choose from. So I think the opportunities of how that those textiles are becoming part of what we can work with every day is way more interesting now, I think, around the world. You know, people are developing more and more interesting ways to be able to use both textiles and hard finishes and all sorts of things in a much more natural way. So, certainly full of more options for us. Yeah.
It's that perfect imperfection that I like. You know, when you pull out and you look at it, it's like the loops are like look like they're in line in unison and perfect. But then when you look like down to like the fibre or the grain of the wood, and it's not perfect, but it kind of is. Like it's such a weird thing that only organic materials can really produce.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You don't want everything to look the same.
No.
You need your eyes, that needs to have imperfections to provide depth and context.
Reference points.
Yeah.
So I'm learning stuff. This is cool. you know, briefly touch on, you know, you lovely is that you mentioned, you know, Bremworth carpets and stuff. Well, what is it about Bremworth and wall carpets or art ethos that you align with?
I think just exactly that it's a New Zealand made natural product that is in most cases a large part of, you know, people's interior spaces, and having the opportunity to live with that, to touch that on a daily basis is like, that's a really nice texture to live with. That's a really beautiful surface to add to any kind of interior space.
Yeah, we've also got a great range of different types types of carpets, so that there is this kind of suitability for different spaces, whether it's an apartment in the inner city, whether it's a large beach house, or whether it's a villa in Mount Eden. There's great product diversity, but then going back to who your company is, it's also this drive to be sustainable and look for ways to be better at being good, like you've said.
I think also, you know, we, and you were touching on this before, but have been able to go onto the Bremworth website, and you've got those beautiful articles on different elements which we've been able to then send to clients, and they can kind of develop their own understanding of the product.
I literally did that today. We had a client briefing and they were looking at a solution dyed product, and I was like, well, have you thought about wool? And the argument was, well, I'm not sure because of, we're in a rural setting and the mud and the kids and all this stuff. I'm like, but there's the natural linens of wool that are great. But came back to the office, jumped on your website, there's all these amazing
articles
on that I just sent through to the client. And I said, totally up to you. I can't tell you, you know, you've got to make these decisions based on your own lifestyle, but love you to consider wool, and fingers crossed.
And do you guys have a personal favourite? Like, is there like one that you lean to?
Levante.
Everyone has a different one, don't
they? Well, we do love the galley. I think it's quite luxurious and beautiful.
Like, the green
colours
sage.
Are gorgeous. Yeah. So, in a number of ways, that's also an amazing rug option, galley, because it sort of doesn't have to be throughout your whole home. It can just be like,
beautiful
rug in one area. Yeah.
That's enough about us, right? Let's talk more about you.
Yeah. And that story is absolutely true about this client today. I mean, it really did happen. And I.
It was actually really helpful to have that information, back it up. Yeah.
And from memory, I am getting a bit older and I do forget. But I think when we last met for the first time, you mentioned that you both had dabbled yourselves in home furnishings or like a sofa.
So furniture.
Well, a few years back, we had a client who had a beautiful home villa, and it was big open spaces, and just felt the need to bring in a sofa that had some curves, and this was before curves was a thing. And we sort of drew something out and then took it.
Started the process of looking for manufacturers.
Worked with Woodwrights, who are a New Zealand company manufacturer and have been for many, many years. And they did all the prototypes and developed the sofa in conjunction with us. And then it was a beautiful, and the client loves it. And then we sort of
It's a beautiful modular sofa.
With a
beautiful curve in the middle.
And rolled and round, deep seated.
Comfortable.
It's all about comfort.
Yeah.
For a family, but also looking beautiful, like it's quite sculptural.
Mm.
And so then we decided that it had legs, so to speak, and we wanted to develop it for the retail market, and so did Woodwrights. So we worked really closely with them to bring it to the market. So it's been really successful from their point of view, which is always a good indication, and we love specifying it.
I think also good to mention, it wasn't an easy road to get that developed piece, like from design to through manufacture, is actually, you know, that's a long process and a long road of developing and researching and
refining
different things. But very rewarding and very cool to have something that is in the New Zealand market and made in New Zealand, which is great.
And then how was it going on that journey? Challenging, difficult? What was some of the biggest challenges, the highlights?
It was challenging. Hard also as well. Well, initially it was being designed with a client in mind. So it's also involving them in that process of signing off for levels of comfort. So, you know, the client is very important in terms of the sofa. It, you know, it's been developed with how they wanted it to feel. So there was that element, but it's also now about making sure that it's got
suitable for other environments, right, yeah. as well. Yeah.
I think that fabrics work best on the shape and in the model and in the manufacturing, and that's been refined by Woodwrights as well to ensure that the fabrics that are being used suit the form and the shape of the sofa. So lots of learnings all the time, basically.
And the cool thing is obviously also the modular aspect of it means that it can be used in a lot of different wide environments. So it is a curve, but you can have the curve with just one arm, or you can have the curve with an extended arm, or you can have the curve with no arm on the side. You know, like there's a lot of different approaches and ways that it can look different and feel different and different fabrics. So,
but as designers, developing a piece of furniture that applies well to a number of different spaces, it's great. It's a huge achievement. And we would love to do it again. We would love, not necessarily sofa, but, you know, we always talk about trying to...
Other pieces.
Yeah. And we do a lot of bespoke design of furniture. It's just which ones are going to have that kind of application to a retail environment. That's always the question. And finding the right manufacturer for that.
So an amazing catchment of you both again. Super talented, amazing array of skills, and it's been great to pick your brain. And
thank you.
A little
bit. It's been great.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Toi Manuhu Designers Institute of New Zealand podcast. Keep an eye out for the next episode. If you enjoyed the insight shared today as much as I did, please give it a share on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And don't forget to tag Toi Manuhu Designers Institute of New Zealand. And for those of you who want to show a little extra support, please give us a rating on iTunes, as it helps get these amazing stories to more listeners.